then what happens to you as you graduate from Tulsa Central? What do you do next?
Well, I graduated from Central, and I went to the University of Colorado. Not many people realize that. I was only there 3 months. They were not very impressive months. That was back when they first discovered uranium. I was bartending up there. Tulagi's was the largest 3-2 bar in America. That was in Boulder, Colorado, and I was the head bartender. And I had a guy that came in from the Okefenokee Swamp that was in school there. He convinced me that we can go back in what they call the White River Forest area in Colorado, and where they had all the gold mines. You've heard the term fool's gold. That is when they'd see this gold-colored stuff, and they'd chip it off and take it out. And it was not gold. But what was it? It was uranium. It was carnotite. So I crawled through. It's amazing that I'm not buried under those rocks somewhere. I took my chisel, and I went back there for weeks and weeks and weeks. Of course, just dropped out of school. We staked several claims at the Atomic Energy in Denver, but they're never with a quantity to be of value. So that was my glorious career in Colorado. Then I decided I'd always kind of done pretty well in the Spanish language, and I enjoyed it. So I decided I was going to go to University of Mexico. Well, I was back in the University of Colorado at that time, so if I took my finals early, I could have them done before the Christmas holidays, because the semester started outside of Mexico City on about the 3rd of January. So that all worked out, and I went home, and I got all ready, actually packed my car, I was ready to go. And I got a letter from Ike, and it said, "Greetings, I was drafted into the United States Army." Now, back in those days, you're drafted, you're there. Quite frankly, as the ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee today, I'm the only one on the Armed Services Committee who still believes in compulsory service. Because a lot of the social problems that we have today, we wouldn't have if those kids had to go through the discipline that I had to go through. I fought it tooth and nail. I didn't want to go to the United States Army, but I did. Anyway, I was drafted. So what I did is I went to 9 different colleges and universities. When they say, "Where'd you go to school?" Wherever I was stationed, I went to night school, like Washington to Lee, University of Virginia, Virginia Polytech Institute, University, you know, all those places.
So in 1956, then you were drafted, and then 2 years in the Army.
That's correct.
What was your training in the Army?
Well, I was in the quartermaster station most of the time at Fort Lee, Virginia. I was in the headquarters detachment. Now, the significance of that is, if you're an enlisted man as opposed to an officer, you're at the bottom of the barrel. However, that was the first year that they started using specialists. So instead of being necessarily a PFC, you'd be a specialist third class. And a specialist was one where you didn't have stripes on your sleeves, if you were in the headquarters detachment, and I was. So everybody thought I was an officer. Mine was just the typical headquarters type of duty. By the way, I was also drafted the same month, I believe, as Elvis Presley.
Oh.
He had a little better duty than I did. I wanted to get to Germany, and he got there. I didn't.
Let me jump back here to December 7th, 1941. I believe you would have been 7 years old. Do you have any recollection of what happened?
I do, because I was living in Springfield, Illinois at that time. We were a first generation back from Germany. And so we were under suspicion at that time because we were Germans. There was no more patriotic man in America than my father was. He had bad eyesight. He tried to get in the Air Force. He tried to get in the Army. He was the strongest patriot in the United States. And yet, people were suspicious of us because of our German background. That's what I remember about it. And I remember also at that time, and then, of course, we moved to Tulsa. When you went to a movie, they didn't have TV. So kids would, on Saturday morning, would go to the movies. And I would go. And all you'd ever see on the news was the war effort, mostly in Germany and Japan. One of the things that shocked me after the war is over is, what are they going to have on news? What is there to be newsy about? Occasionally, I was sent to Chicago. I had an aunt, my dad's sister, an aunt and uncle that were very close, and they lived up there in an apartment house that I thought was pretty fancy. Now, if you go back, it really wasn't very fancy, but it was this giant building. It was 7 stories high. I remember being there during the surrender, during VE Day, Victory in Europe.
1945.
And seeing the parades and all of that. So I was right in the middle of a major area when that happened.
Rationing that went on, did that affect you?
I remember all that so well. trying to find gasoline, and my mother made all the butter and churned it and all that, and everybody else did too.
Tires were tough to get.
Yeah, rubber was impossible because all that went to the war effort.
And even nylons for ladies.
Nylons was the great swapping material for our troops over in places like Germany.
Tell us why.
Well, because, you know, you see a pretty girl, they don't care about diamonds, but nylons, they like nylons.